Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, we're live. This is the Free and Independent Nation State of Lakota Radio. We're coming to you from the Pine Ridge Reservation, or Prisoner of War Camp 334, in the most racist state in the United States, South Dakota, on stolen land, just south of the most racist city in South Dakota, Rapid City. We're presenting the Lakota Oyate Hour. Chinupa Gluhamani is your host. Chinupa is the head, Itashcha, of the Free and Independent Lakota Nation State, and he is the Itashcha of the Chante Inza Warrior Society, which is the Free and Independent Nation State of Lakota headquarters for national and international affairs. Chinupa is also the representative for the Gray Eagle Society. He's been appointed by Chief Red Cloud to lead the Black Hills Teton Sioux Nation Treaty Council. He's a Wounded Knee veteran. He is active in the community, providing for the community and watchdog of the Lakota Nation. He's a former bodyguard and associate of Russell Means and Lehman Brightman, and an associate of Dennis Banks. Been invited to many countries. He's a representative of the Lakota to the United Nations. He's a fluent Lakota speaker and an absolute expert on Lakota history and culture. Let's welcome Chinupa. And good evening. We don't have Chinupa with us right now, but he'll be tuning in a little bit later. Right now, we have Rachel, who's going to open the program for us. Rachel, go ahead.
Hello?
Go ahead, Rachel.
Hey, Chinupa asked me to open a prayer, I like your intro. So I'm open a prayer for, to start with Chinupa for what he's doing now, the work he's doing for his people to go get coats and things and safety be with him. And to keep blessing him, people helping out. The prayer is that for the world today, with all this hate and meanness going on, that people's hearts turn around and come back for the way they're supposed to be. And I pray for the people that have to suffer through that turmoil, that they have the strength to keep a strong heart and not allow that to break them. And I pray for people who are causing that, that they can have a change of heart and come around and be a human being. So that's my prayer for the show.
Okay, thank you, Rachel. So I see we got Justin online and Brian. One of you guys want to come on in?
What's up, Oyate? I've been MIA for past few shows, been having to take care of business, trying to get this schooling taken care of and all that good stuff. And yeah, you guys know how it kicks my butt. Yeah. So, but I'm here. Chinupa, we visited this morning. And, yeah. We talked about, have you guys ever heard of a lady named Jane Elliott? And her blue eyes, brown eyes, scenario she had created after Martin Luther King was assassinated. It's quite interesting. And it identifies a lot of the things that Chinupa talks about when he talks about the white culture and the white race and how they are manipulated and educated to be abusive. And they're being taught these things. And this is what this white lady believes and has been teaching it for decades now. It's really quite cool. I enjoyed it. But yeah, and I recommend anybody out there to check it out. Her name is Jane Elliott. And yeah, she is quite the interesting lady, and it's called Blue Eyes, Brown Eyes. And she did an ABC documentary. It was called Into the Storm. It was on ABC. And she has a few more. But yeah, I've been watching a lot of her videos lately, and it's just quite interesting the aspect that she brings. Eye of the Storm, and then she suggests books to read on a lot of this white supremacist culture to help educate yourself, because that's what she says, is education is key. I'm kind of on that platform as well, you know, educate yourself as best you can. So nobody could take advantage of you. Believe me, I know. I've been taken advantage of a lot my whole life, and it's because of the lack of knowledge that we've had taken from us. Our parents used to teach us, and our parents used to be our best teachers, but this white culture has stolen that from us, and they've made it an establishment. They've turned it into an indoctrination system, and it's something that we all need to get away from and realize that they are teaching this to one another, and it's all learned. They're learning to be racist, and they're teaching each other to be racist, and it's sad, and it's really sickening. You know, they're so worried that when in all the studies, they're worried that people are gonna, oh, well, we did it to them, so ain't they gonna do it to us? Well, that's not true, because in all the studies show that anybody that has had this done to them does not want to do it to others and does not wish it upon others. For them to think like this is it's highly rooted in evil, in their words. And you know, let me know what you guys think.
Yeah,
I agree with that. And, hello.
Yep.
I agree with that, and I'll go further on that. What they're doing now is they're doing two things. They're trying to come at minority people, attacking them, calling them racist.
Yep.
Just kind of what you touched on there. But they're really
mm-hmm.
amping it up here. The other thing they're doing, they're taking our own people, whatever minority race you may be, and they're teaching them that to look down their nose at their own, hate their own. They've got these other minorities out here basically brainwashed to believe in that they are right. Oh, we're not racist. We were never racist. It was all put in your heads by the media, by this, by that. And these are people of the age of today. that never had to live through the back days of racism. And then to have the nerve to try to teach this generation today that racism doesn't exist, and at the same time look down at your own people. And using the minorities to try to get in the minds of their own people and brainwash them into believing that, oh, we were wrong, we were wrong. Oh, God, we've been so wrong about the white man. No, they're not going to do that. I see this all over these forum pages I'm on. And these discussions I get in, these white people are very conniving because they're insecure in their mind. They're insecure of their own supremacy, that they've got to go out here to make that supremacy feel stronger because they're weak in their own minds about it. And it's just disgusting when I see minorities stand beside these people and take up for them. It's literally disgusting. And it's a generation that never had to put up with the full-blown racism in this country. And these white people also give them this leverage of equality. Like, you see, I don't like to just point towards the black people. But the rich black people are the ones they're using. Because, oh, you got the same equality level of monetary value as a white man. You've reached that level of equalness with us. So now look at your own people. They're disgusting. They're racist. They blame us for everything. Do we look like a racist? You're standing here by me, aren't you? This is what they're doing. They're getting into the mindset of the minority people and having them to try to beat down the generations that are coming up and the ones at their age, and convince them, we're not the bad guy, we're the good guy. This PragerU out here that they're trying to instill in all these schools. When they're using white supremacy teachings, indoctrinations, that the white man's good. Slavery wasn't bad. Slavery was a technical trade taught. They're a whip. That was good. This is the brainwashing that they're in the schools today through this PragerU that they're trying to get instilled in all schools. This is what they're trying to tell the little children starting out kindergarten. So by the time they get 18, they've got a full trained minority race of people licking their butts and agreeing with them. And we can't let them do that.
I agree. Another thing I would love for you all to check out is another documentary on YouTube that just dropped within the past year that has some of the most detailed information on how this country dealt with us through these centuries. It's one of the more accurately in-depth portrayals of our relationship with this colonized people. And, yeah, I recommend everybody check it out. It's called Indian Removal, and they were just in the way. Meaning we were just in the way. So, yeah. No, and we have to educate ourselves. We have to, they came and they took it from us. We have to take it back, and we have to use our, we've always had a brain. That's why we gave up this land in the hope that these people would treat us like they said they would. But no, they didn't. they continue to use, abuse, and manipulate because enough is never enough. And I can't understand why that is.
Luckily, it was a
shot. You know, as long as my family is fed, that's all I care about, you know. As long as we have the ability to do the things that we need to do, that's all I care about. But these guys have developed this illusion of everybody has to have more. Everybody has to be rich or you ain't worth nothing. And that's a totally false narrative to be portraying to people, because it's totally fine not to be rich. It's totally fine just to care about your family. It's totally fine just to, you know, just to be happy with who you are. But they've created this false narrative that everybody is aspiring to be, and that false narrative is nothing but a corrupt white man that is greed. And yeah, we all just got to wake up from it.
I've been awake. Okay, Brian.
I hear you.
That sounds good. So we got another caller here at 675769, and then Justin's online, and so is Bryce. And so it's kind of open for anybody to come on in, comment, whatever you want to say.
Now, I don't ever think these white people are going to be able to change. That's why we have got to not change. And we can't let them make us change to fit their shoe of the way they want us to be. They're lost. We can say, you know, hope they have a change of heart and they come around. But in my opinion, I don't think they are. But we've got to teach our children to know who they are, who they came from. Let them know what they did. Don't let this white man take away from you, because he wants you to be a version of him. He don't have that right to do that. But that's what these white people do. It's all about control, greed, money. They can't let people choose on their own how they want to live, who they want to be. They've got to, something is not right up there in their brains. They don't act like humans. And I'm just sick and tired of hearing them trying to blow smoke up my butt and trying to tell me I'm a racist. Because I point out their truth to them? No. And I'm not going to let them take that away. So Brown beat me down and take that away. After you people spit on me, you teachers threw me against the wall, you did this, and you expect me to say, okay, yeah, you're right. No. That even inspired me more not to break from those people.
Right on. If you give up, you lose. Anybody else want to come on in? Bryce? Justin? Brian.
Well, if we just got to keep pushing, because the numbers say in 10 years' time, white people are going to be the numerical minority, and we just got to keep pushing to fight for our sovereignty like Tanupa and Oyate and all of us are trying to fight for. And hopefully we make enough noise and finally we can make enough noise to get us a foothold, because it takes all of us. It takes all of us speaking up, saying something. Just as loud as you can. Coming on these shows, going to talk to people. Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're right. Well, you know, Brian, we got to get that seat in the United Nations. We're up against the five, you know, superpowers, they call them, China, Russia, UK, Canada, and United States. They control who enters that United Nations. And, you know, we can do it because Palestine did it. You know, they have a seat there. They're not recognized, but they have a seat. It's called the State of Palestine. Well, we want the state of Lakota to be in there, too. You know, Lakota didn't start just yesterday. You know, it started with me. It started with me way back in 1965 when I met Lehman Brightman. He was in California. That's where I was at. I met Lehman Brightman there, and he was the director of the Indian Center. And I kind of became friends with him. And I was just studying drafting there. And he became, in the years following 65, he became a professor over there in UC Berkeley. And I was just playing music there. But I was busy working first. And then in the meantime, my wife had a baby, and Lehman Brightman became my first son's godfather. He would go to the hospital and visit my wife while I was at work. And so he was a good man. And later, he had a TV show there in San Francisco. And he had people on there interviewing some guys from Pine Ridge. They were telling about the conditions and everything in Pine Ridge. And, you know, I listened to that, and it was like eye-opening. It was the beginning of independence, I believe. And you know, I started researching everything, and I found out the truth about, you know, what the United States government and what the Christian religion was doing to our people, had done to our people, and was still doing it. And that's when I went back to South Dakota and joined the American Indian Movement. Went to Wounded Knee, all of that stuff there. And a whole lot of stuff happened before that, but that's where it started at. Still going on. And so, you know, that's where we're headed. We got to get this recognition. And, you know, we can't give up. If we give up, we lose. We have to just keep going. Justin, you want to come on in?
Oh, Justin Musso, Padiyansi, Paul K. Scott Wambui. I was trying to talk earlier, but I was on mute. But, yeah, I was listening to Rachel talk there, and that she has a good point there, is that, you know, we got to start stepping up and letting our younger generation know who they are and, you know, where they come from. But she hit the you know, she the point there. But that's the main goal, is, you know, we got to teach them, the younger generation, you know, about what we all talk about, and let them know, instead of the school letting them know about all the lies. The books are all a bunch of lies. But, you know, we the teachers, us adults, we should be teaching them the truth and what was really going on with the, you know, for all of us natives. That's the main thing. And I've been teaching my kids here, and what they, you know, they really, they get they're confused, in other words, what the books teach them than what we teach them. But I tell them, you know, that what we teach them, I ain't the one that said it. You know, the elders are the ones, and I listen to the elders, and I pass it on to them. So, you know, that's the main goal, is that we got to teach them and let them know that all the books is lies. And that's what I always told my daughters, you know, they do that schooling, but then, you know, when they get to know Mother Nature and our tradition, so that's a big old 110 points more. But when they do that education, you know, they're stunned, or, you know, they're confused. So that's one thing is, you know, it's like Chanupa says, you know, that once they get back into the, you know, Mother Nature and, you know, the animals and all that, they're really, really, you know, good. They know a lot. That's what we got to teach them is, you know, what was our, how we grew up, you know. Nowadays, you can go to the bathroom, you could flush it, you could turn water on, you know. Those are the kind of things that are good for them, but they should know how rough it is, how we grew up. And nowadays, it's just spoiled, in other words. So we just got to let them know that, you know, that what our warriors did back in the days, they lost their lives so we could have a better life. And we should, you know, always remember them and what they did for us. They lost their lives so we could keep going. And, you know, that's what we got to teach them is, you know, that they got to keep going and, you know, start. Because one of these days, we ain't going to be here. And we got to teach them the best we can, just like the elders that left us this COVID. All that knowledge and wisdom went with them. You know, I really, really wish I could, you know, been there a lot more and listen. But it's all these should've, could've, and would've. So I thought we got to our little ones, is, you know, what we know now, and get their brains full of what we really went through and what was really going on out there. And that's all I got to say. I hope.
Yeah, it sounds good, Justin. Bryce, are you there? Oh, I think Bryce went to sleep again. Okay, somebody else can come on in.
Can I talk about the Christianity part of this? These white people. This is what I noticed. This is what I noticed growing up and noticing around me. But they try to teach you you're a bad person. We're the good people. Don't hate us for what we did. You know, this God tells you to forgive us. To forgive us. They use their Christianity, too. And that Stockholm Syndrome thing. We abused you, but just sympathize with us. We will put some of that Stockholm Syndrome power on you from Christianity, through Christianity. Yeah, we were bad at you. We abused you, but feel sorry for us. Turn the other cheek with us. Pray for us. That's what people need to stand up strong and tell them to take their Christianity and go far left.
Sounds good. Barney, you there? Come on in.
Yeah, I was just listening. I don't know what you guys talk about. I was just trying to bounce off somebody. But if somebody mentioned the UN. And like, well, I was trying to get into UN, but we got to understand what that organization is. And it's compromised by a few countries. And the ones that created it, I think it was the Rockefeller family that created this League of Nations. And then evolved into the United Nations. But those are the last people to go to. They're the ones that are controlling this place here, the United States. letting in all these immigrants, different people. I heard them say white people just do this and that, but if you look at who occupies this country, and it's every race that come from all countries that occupy here, and they think they own this place. So they all share the same equal guilt or blame or whatever you want to say. So I never look at one people, you know, that like the white people. That the history books tell us that the white man's racist and he did this and that. But if you look at reality, the white man saved us from getting wiped out by other white men. So good and bad is in everybody, every nation. And we have to understand that our old ways are not here.
Even Einstein said that white people are bad.
Yeah. But the history books teach us that. And when we go to school, we get these white people teachers standing there pounding that into us that we have to be American. That's the way we grew up back there in Dakota and stuff. We got all these Freemason type of people that want to exterminate Indians. Those are our teachers up back there. So we look at the white man in a certain way. But if you come out here in California and these cities and you walk around, you go into Chinatown, Koreatown, or anywhere, they're going to look at you and they're going to think you're going to steal from them. They're not going to like you, even if you're Indian, you know, native to this land, because they have a preconception about you, that you're drunk all the time. All these things that are preconceived about us, even before they met us, you know, they think we're savages. They think we still got bows and arrows and stuff. But that's all of them. The whole world. The whole world looks at us. The whole world is looking at us like that, you know. And if we fire back with anger, that's what they want us to do. They want us to fire back with anger instead of firing back with knowledge. We have to look at our standing, our political standing. We talk about our spiritual standing, about what the elders taught us and all that. But the elders taught us to stand up, you know, and get educated and stand up and look at what our political standing is here in this world. And if we continue to be tribal people, a tribe is somebody that pays tribute to a master. And if you keep calling yourself a tribe, that's all you're going to be. It's somebody that pays tribute. That's why we lost our identity. Because we keep paying tribute to Washington, D.C. We have to get our own identity back. Instead of using the identity that they gave us, that they created for us. They call the Cheyenne River Sioux Tribe, Oglala Sioux Tribe. But those are just corporations that were set here to steal our land, continue to steal our land and hold it. Even our own people, are the biggest obstacle because they continue to hang on to this tribal thing, which is killing our young. Look at what's happening in Oglala over there. They want to fund the police. But look at Cheyenne River. That Walt Minor building there. They put millions of dollars in there while people are starving down in Cherry Creek, Bridger, Thunder Butte, Red Scalp. So we got to look at, if we're going to look at, you know, the bad boogeyman, we got to look at our own people. And the
well, who taught
Christian,
our people
the
to be like this?
And the Christian people. I mean, I don't have nothing against Christians. My mother's one. But when we hang on to some other, some foreign, we start worshiping some foreign gods. You know. And then we talk about our elders and what they taught us. And the, but look at the hospitals. Look at the schools full of Indian children. The hospitals full of the weak and the aged people, the sick. They're filling up these hospitals. So what do we do? What do we do when we claim to be Lakota, but we're continually, daily, sending our kids into the snake dens? An eagle can't fly when he's in a snake den trying to crawl his way out. We have to look at ourselves. The war that's inside of us, the hatred for these things that happen to us. And we got to cool that. We got to cool that down. And overcome it. That way it don't spill over to the people. That's why they're fighting over there. Palestine and Ukraine and the places, because they can't control themselves. So it spills over. And the war will never stop until each one of us stops fighting ourselves. And we have to re-identify with the land. The land means people. The soil is what we live on. And our blood is in, our ancestors' blood is in that soil. And that soil is in our bloodstream, this land here, the people. We have to conquer ourselves before we can reestablish these things. What the young want to see is they don't want to see schools. They don't want to see churches and hospitals. But we continually send our people in there into these snake dens. And then on the other side of our mouths, we talk about how we have medicine and we have all these good things that the Lakota used to have. Fantastical dreaming about the past. But we have to make it true for the future, for these kids. Like I say, everything is for the children. They're watching us how we respond to all everything that's happening to us. And if we strike out with anger, they're going to strike out with anger. I remember when I was young, I used to get beat up on my older relatives because I wasn't a Custer hater enough. I didn't hate Custer enough. So they said, oh, you're with them. I get bullied and beat up and stuff by people that drank. And they reverted back to that hatred. And our kids are seeing that now. They're seeing all that hatred come out. They're getting beat up. Getting put in these orphanages, juvenile detention, jails. We have to start owning up to what the problem is. We have to stand up. If we're going to get our land back, we have to identify, separate from the tribe, from the state, from the federals. we have to identify with our people that fought, like this guy said, they fought for this. They fought for it. But we're not doing a damn thing. So that's all I want to see. We got to move forward. Throw out all this hatred stuff. If you want to hate, then you hate the whole world because they're right here at your doorstep. They're making you pay taxes, pay tribute to Washington, D.C. that's full of colored people, all colors. They got the eagle and the snake then, but you're just looking at the white man. They're all his fault. My mom's half white, half breed they call them. She taught me that they're no good. They're no, they love money. That's why they hate us, because we don't love money. But if it wasn't for that good white man, we'll all be dead. That's what she told us. Just like Andrew Jackson, everybody hates him because he moved in and out. They call it Trail of Tears, but he saved those tribes.
You should read When at Times the Mob is Swayed.
Those people in Georgia and them places at that time wanted to kill the Indian people, the natives, wanted to kill them. Right there, but they moved them out of there. They still exist today. Books are books. You have to read them and you have to discern what's right and what's wrong. But we have to listen to our elders from Ihani. See, they told me, and I'm old, getting old now. I'm just passing this down, what I learned. And we're not going to do this until we win that battle within ourselves. These are things Mom told me. All right, that's all.
Okay, sounds good. Shinupa, come on in.
Hey, all right, man. I caught the tail end of some heavy stuff that's being aimed at people, you know, in general. Well, one part I caught that I'm just going to say it. I disagree with a lot of the stuff that people keep suppressing, you know, the white man, which you're supposed to do. You got to suppress that guy, okay? And then at the same time, look, let me put it this way. I caught a part there where an older brother from California was mentioning that his mother taught him these things, okay? Which is great. We all love our moms because our moms taught us some courageous stuff. My mom did too. My mom's the one that told me to pick up my .22 rifle and go with your grandma and grandpa. They're going into Wounded Knee in 73, so that's why I left with them. My point that I'm making this, you know, understanding to this, look, people, and get this in your hearts, rather than your head, because I don't think your brain can pick it up. Everything written in paper, material, book, computer, Facebook, whatever those machines do to type things up, okay? All these typos were created by the machine run by white people. Okay, you have to recognize that you have a problem in you, okay? The Indian people didn't do this to us. The white man did. All them eastern tribes, they weren't at war with the other tribes of the Midwest. They weren't. That's all written material according to the white man's theory of his own history. Our stuff is written on pictographs and animal pelts, the hides. Okay? So this is how it ingrained in our brain that we will always become our worst enemy, okay? Now, the reason why I'm saying this tonight, and I'm sorry I came on late. I had to go to Balfour Shea to pick up some donations for our kids and elders. I mean, that's what I do. I'm not just going to sit back and just mention stuff and not live what I tell you guys I'm living. You see, I don't have the wherewithal and the means for gas to go here and there. I don't have a job. I had all those at one time. White man keep taking it. Every time I made money, the white man wants that money back. Fuck him. Fuck him today. Fuck him tomorrow. Fuck him forever. That man is a barbaric individual. So we're using his language to try to promote good things. There's nothing good in the white man's language. It's all bad. When you get older, I'm right behind my brother there. I'm 66. I'll be 67. I'm pushing his mark, 71. We always come short of what we lack because it's imperialism, sophistication, computeristic, okay? Even the thought process from books. Books are only a tool. And when you read them, you better look at what's really illustrated in them. And then who's the author? And then who printed it? White man printed it. Who's the author? Like what my brother said, a half-breed. See? Hey, honey. We chocha. Onki chopi. Chokatakya. Wowak sape wanji. Makha ankata. Egnakab heha. Takulena. Hey, honey. Oyate onki chopi. Wankapi. Taku wank ficha sni lila shitya. Nalilak hotabhanta, chate ognale oap hekehe, toni hechens etima eato amsne. Naha wakhanshicha le, wichoye, wakhanshicha eapi. Ohe washichu he e. Takwe he wakheki. Wanko, iuk champo, kiktapo, na iuk champo, mitaki epi. Tukteo, Oapkhemunji lakhota ki kaha o kinaha etaha oapkhe kile suta wilkhe api namaska kile kamananka o ki heno oyate tropi wichakute wa uspe kile he tukte yankahe. For some of you and even my own that don't know our language, it ain't my fault that you don't know it. It's your fault. You can't blame nobody. You got to blame yourself. When you blame yourself, then you know what healing is. Then you'll know who your mortal enemy is. Then you'll understand why we're angry at this man. Because he made us this way. And he can't take it back. He'll lie to you and lie to you and lie to you, and you're still going to believe it. Hell, if you allow him to keep talking to you, man, he'll torture you with your mind and his. That's the hard concepts of what we don't see the picture on. Now, you come to Pine Ridge, and you get a call from somebody that you might have had a friendship with to build a foundation to help your people. Okay, you come, you go back to your reservation and see if you can go after the stuff that people are going to contribute to your children and elders. Things that the tribal governments and the treaties and all that shit that the federal government's supposed to oversee and help us obtain. Okay? Yeah, it's not going to happen because they become like a white man. Even white people lie about having indigenous blood in them. And they were buying rolls back in the latter part of the 1800s. And that man, that $10 bill man, or $20 bill man, whichever one it was, along with that Grant dude on that $50 bill, them sons of bitches were fucking Indian haters. The removal act that was created by them was actually a relocation act, which is still going on today, but it's described under a different name. That devil will change it every time. Knowing your enemy is your key to freedom. But we have to sound harsh in our way of speaking. Or go tell that white man in front of multitudes of Indians and tell that fucker, okay, Mr. White Man, I'm using your names, your language. Leave us the fuck alone now, white man. And I want to see that. If you speak on the mentality of the so-called sophisticated knowledge of, okay? And you like using that to describe. We're not at each other's throats. We're given messages. Deceit and deceive is two different meanings, but they began with the letter D. And that white man will rape the words again and find another one to describe it. My point. Now, the animals, here's a good example. You're damn right the eagle can go down to a fucking snake pit and hang out in there. So can the bats, nighthawks, hooting owls. They all do that in the snake pit. And they, too, can get a quick meal. But the birds that kill snakes are immune to snake poison. Just like the mongoose over in those other countries that kills cobras. He's immune to it. Same with that Tasmanian devil, that little rodent. Another good four-legged killer. Same with the Komodo dragon. But every time when we have tremendous upbeat shows, and people don't like that. They don't like it when we condemn the fucking white man. What for? Hell, half of the reservations are full of white people running the tribal government. There's something wrong with that picture. Since when does a fucking white man get legally enrolled? The only way they can get enrolled is none. There is no means of enrolling a white man. Are we getting enrolled to the white race? Are we getting enrolled to the white race? Fuck no. Hell no. It'll never happen. We're not white. Sophistication of this morbid behavior amongst the white man is very critical and crucial that denies you the right to your own freedom of independence. Duh. That's the hard part. Now we choy ekile luhakte. Hena ite oapi na ite nitkapi kile. Wosu takile nitkachanke he yankexto. Okay? I don't give a fuck if my name is John Henry or Benjamin Franklin or fuck yeah George Washington. If my name is that, that doesn't make me a white man. I'm still a red man. So the only way we can get away from that is using your own indigenous and traditional identity. That's it. Now, all these animal cows that are being crossbred today. Crossbred today. The same way they did us. They crossbred us indigenous people. We're mixed with white blood and black blood. And we're mixed with other southern bloods that are indigenous. That's it. Which is good. The purity of that southern blood is honorable. The purity of that blood that's black and white ain't. That's why it's crossbred. Ieska, half-breed. My point, you have to analyze these understandings in our natural living, you know, intention. Like they say, Tokatakya ichi shampo. They're telling us, Tokatakya, prepare for the future. But we ain't. And our elders have been saying this past and present. Okay? They said the youth of today were our future. That's a bunch of bullshit. They were looking for the youth to pick up the traditional value of life, which is the blood they represent in their body, not what's outside, meaning skin tone. We are not a people from another country. I didn't come here on those four ships. Hell no. The other blood that was brought into my blood come down the road there called Mexico. My other blood from down there, which is indigenous, they call Mexica. They speak a language called Nahuatl, which I still speak today at the age of 66. My other blood that's in my body is Titista. Better known to everyone else, it's called Cheyenne. And my blood's just right up the door there in Montana. Why do you think that my roots are here in North America? My roots are here. My coche que le mi carlo, hey, emata. But before I got here to this earth, the Buffalo Nation made me. End of story. But because we've been indoctrinated, we've been pasteurized with white milk substance, we become dysfunctional in these words that the white man created to force upon us. We are all behaving like him now. I don't care if we come together or not. I don't care. We're going to come together whether you like it or not. It's it. I don't give a damn. But there are people willing to help you get out of dormancy. I don't run from Pine Ridge. Still here, facing the music. I'm going to lose reception here. But I want to share this to all of you. On the eve of Thanksgiving, I saved a grandma and two tacosas of her. Her name was Sophie Bluebird, okay? And I'm still dirty with all that smoke and shit on my clothes.
Knock it off now.
That's what I did a few days ago. Because all the cops were too busy fucking playing on the radio. All the street people were under some controlled substance. Their brain was numb, full of weed, methamphetamine, whatever the substance was. They'd even hear her cry. She said, in Lakota, do I try, oh my kinta, hey, like that. the way a woman sounds, man. He was neighbor to that grandma's house. He was, and I brought her to safety. And she told me how that fire was going to start. The Oglala Sioux Housing Authority did not fix her living room outlet, motherfuckers. They wanted to kill that grandma and those grandkids. That's a form of attempted murder by the housing office. Do the math, people. But you don't live here. You keep taking off. You're going east. You're going south, you're going west, you're going north, but you can't stay home and hear the cry of your people, man. I had to put my axe down along with my nephew because we were cutting wood today. We had an unexpected small piece of a winter storm that came in. And we had to do our part to stay warm too as warriors. So I and my nephew, Justin, were cutting wood. All the wood piles we had, we give it out to people. That's the name of the game of we dog soldiers. You don't hear us complain. We know what the problem is. And it's those philosophical standards of the white race. If all we're going to do is talk English and give him that superiority, then let's all hurry up and die and let him win. But we can't because we're not a conquered people. He's still trying to conquer us by using his indoctrination through imperialistic mindsets to create curriculums to kill our language. Right there, understand your enemy. So I'm going to give it back to you guys. I'm getting close inside the reservation. I just passed that town. And then when I go down this gully, I'm going to lose reception. My phone's going to click off. But I thank you guys. I take full responsibility of my words and that. This is travel to go get these donations. And I asked Rage White Eagle, man, to fill in for me. And if I get back on top of the hill when I get on that side, inside the reservation, I'll sing the closing song. If not, one of you guys are going to have to step up and be that warrior you claim to be and let that song be known. Remember, our adopted mother, Rebecca Hornaplow, just turned 86 yesterday. On the after day of her birthday. And I still think of her because she's my mom. I love her. So I'm coming down this hill. So whatever is the necessity of this, carry on. Rachel, carry on. Keep going.
Agree with everything he says. You got to get strong in the mind, and we can't let them do what they're doing to this younger generation today. Teaching them, trying to teach that everything that white man's done, he's done for the good of them, when it's been all for the bad. In the schools, in the churches, in the communities. They turn around and say, you're teaching your kids to hate us. No, we're not. We're teaching our kids the truth. We have the right to do that, just like you taught your kids how to hate, how to be racist, how to be bullies. Anybody got anything else to say?
Yeah, this is Barney again. I'd like to say something again about the UN, United Nations. in the past, you know, a lot of Indian groups, a lot of Indian people, different ones, went to the UN. And when they asked, who do you represent? And when they showed their credentials, it was all a credential that the enemy gave us in those terms. That's more acceptable, the enemy, the white man. But we have minds, you know, we have brains. Why can't we get back to that place where we have jurisdiction over our own land? Is it because we keep hanging on to these, identifying as tribes, identifying as state citizens, federal citizens, United States citizens? Is that why? That won't recognize us? We have to gain jurisdiction over our own land first. And then we can get to that place where the language and the ceremonies and these things can, we can turn these things into the pure form that they were before. Right now, we can't do that. Like I say, the snakes can't, the eagles can't fly when they're in the snake's den. When you're sitting in there with them, you're promoting the snake's agenda. You can't fly. There's no freedom. It's all about who we are, our identification. Once we get to that point where we gain jurisdiction over our land, 1851 treaty lands, if we gain jurisdiction over that, then the eagle might fly. But we're now grounded down by our own ignorance. And we throw things in our path, make it harder. I proposed a while back, let's step out of the jurisdiction, the enemy's jurisdiction, see what happens. But people, they have this fear that they're not going to eat, they're not going to get their money, they're not going to get their check or whatever. That's what we got to overcome, those little fears. We got to shake all this stuff off. You know, when the young see that, they're going to step up and they're going to get it back for us. All right, that's all I got.
Sounds good. You're a good ambassador for that cause there, right there. You know, way back in the 90s there, when me and Richard Grass and Reginald Birdhorse and Garfield Grass, Real Buzzy Black Feather, we would go to different places on the reservations and present, you know, the independence for the Lakota. And we even going up to Canada, to Sioux Valley, over to Wyoming, Montana, with Tim Lane woman over there. Anyway, these guys went to, I sent them to The Hague in the Netherlands. They got over there. Representatives at The Hague there, they said, "What? Where's you guys' flag?" And Reginald, he looked around to the other guys and he looked at them. He says, "We have an eagle staff. Didn't have a flag." He said, we have an Eagle Staff. So we don't have a flag, you know. That's where we started at. And so everything has to follow in that order, you know. We have to be independent and everything, and true to Lakota. Mark Bigwood, he used to always say, Lakota must remain pure. Can't mix it with anything. And so, you know, we have to keep all of that in mind when we go forward. Anybody else, come on.
Oh, Yossi, this is Justin, Pioneers Agency. Yeah, I'd like to add on to what you guys are saying. You know, Grandma never raised a quitter, and, you know, I'm not no quitter to give up on our people, and the eagle still does fly, you know. It probably doesn't fly because it's in a city. That's where the snake pits are. So that's where they are. And one thing is that, you know, we don't send our people into, you know, the snake pit. That's the another, you know, evil people's thoughts. You know, down here, there's a lot of still good ceremonies, a lot of good sweat lodges. One good example is, you know, COVID came around, you know. We went to the lodge, and you know what happened? Next day we feel better. You know, that's our hospital there. There's a lot of people that still believe in our way, and we still, you know, believe in our way. And we know the eagle still flies where we come from. And one thing is, you know, that we still have medicine in our Mother Nature. We still, you know, all the elders still bring us around. And Chinupo just gave us a good example, too. 2-3 weeks ago, someone came up with COVID, and what he did, we prayed for him in the lodge, and he told him what medicine to take from Mother Earth. You know, the next day, that person was good again. You know, there's a lot of good still on our reservation. And, you know, one time when I went to the city, you know, that yeah, we went into Korean and Asians and all those different places. But, you know, one thing was is, you know, as soon as they find out we're Native American, they really, you know, showed respect. They didn't think of us as savages and drunks because I had long hair. A lot of people had long hair that was with me. And when you show your pride in someone else's city, you know, they'll let you know. And a lot of things is, too, is that they show nothing but bad things on reservations, like the people that are drunk, passed out, you know, stuff like that. They don't see the good that is on this reservation, all the reservations. There is still good people there. And we don't leave this reservation to go off to the other cities. We live on these reservations to put up with it and live good and live with honor of where we come from. And there's a lot of good things still that we could go through. And, you know, one thing is that, you know, Grandma never raised a quitter. And I lived on this res, and I'm still going to be here. And it's going to my younger generation is going to still be there, too. Like I was saying, those books, you know, they teach a lot of lies, man. My children are controlled by those lies in the books from the truth of what they come from. That's another thing, is too, is that we still got to remember them, tell them truth about where they come from. And, yeah, there is some good white men out there. Yeah, there is. But there's a majority of them that hate us out there and call us savages and, you know, and drunks. Those are the ones. But they don't really see the good. There is still a lot of good on this reservation, all the reservations, not only Pine Ridge. But, you know, I just wanted to throw my 2 cents in there. Aho.
Yeah, you're right about that, Justin. Well, I'm not on a res right now. And whenever I'm in South Dakota, I feel humiliated. Almost embarrassed to walk around the street, you know, and associate and, you know, mingle with the all the white people there. I really do. And I hate that goddamn place, I tell you. And, you know, I'll go back if we get our independence. So help me out. Okay.
I've lived out here around these people all my life, these white people. And I had to learn, no matter where I stood, that was my jurisdiction. I didn't let these white people push me around. They got in my face and started, I got right back in their face and told them if they didn't like me, to go home. I've got knocked on my ass. I've been in fights. But I had to stand up for myself to these white people. Schools, out in the streets, and jobs, everywhere, because they're bullies. You got to stand up to that white man. You may get knocked on your ass, you get up and you fight back. That's what my dad taught me. And I did. And now all I got to do is look at them. They walk away. They leave me alone because they know I'm ready to throw down. I don't give a shit about them no more. And that's the attitude we got to take. We don't have to go out there wanting to be like them and be assholes, but we can teach them, you're not going to treat us like an asshole.
Oh. Hey, Bryce, are you awake yet? He's not awake yet. Brian.
Yes, sir. What's going on? And yeah, did you guys know that they like to take things from people and portray them to be their own? You know, and when something is invented by a different race, they don't even acknowledge that race, and they just act like it manifested from thin air. It's quite miraculous, the mind fuck that these guys are putting people through. It's almost a form of psychological torture and a psychological warfare. And they're doing a damn fine job. You know, I mean, you can hear it in all of us at times. You know, you could hear that sense of fear that we all have. I know I have it sometimes, you know, but if you're not afraid, then I don't think you're human, you know. And we all have a little bit of fear in us. It's getting over that fear and doing something about it. I wasn't brought up the way I wished I would have been. And I'm trying to fix the things that have been broken in me by these white people, because I thought growing up that they were good people until I realized the truth. And the truth is they are selfish, self-centered, egotistical, greedy people. And they ain't going to quit taking until we make them quit taking from us. And it's going to take all of us speaking up, like I said, to the tops of our lungs as much as we can, to make this change, you know.
Yeah, you know, Yeah, you're right about that. And speaking up is a good thing. And, you know, you can't be afraid of things. You know, when we went into Wounded Knee, we went in there to die. We didn't care. We didn't think we were going to make it out of there. And then after Wounded Knee, you know, in 1991, you know, when I saw things were going downhill because of a certain thing that some of these senators were saying about terminating, you know, treaties and reservations and stuff, I decided that I didn't care who was with me or if nobody or who, what anybody said or did, that the only thing for me to do that I could think of that I knew that was the best thing to do was to declare independence for the Lakota. So I called a meeting. And, you know, I started calling people on the phone, treaty council people, elders, you know, various leadership of the Lakotas, not the tribal chairman people, but the traditional people. And I called this meeting at Bear Butte. And when I called this meeting, I didn't know if anybody was going to show up. And if somebody did show up, I didn't know what was going to happen. Are they going to come and arrest us or something, you know? And everybody showed up. And nobody did anything. They accepted it. And so maybe what you got to do is, you know, you can speak up and everything, but maybe you got to do something. Even if, you know, you think you're standing by yourself. Do something. I'm going to tell you what to do. You got to figure that out for yourself. But you got to do something. If you don't do anything, you know, people aren't going to say that you're serious. Anybody else want to come in?
Well, you know, as we're talking about this, Oyate, I just come to the, you know, would a guy want to try and do a petition on a platform just to try to get some voices to show some some solidarity in our people for this prospect, this endeavor that we're trying to, you've heard of change.org, right?
No.
No? It's a website where you can put down a petition, you know, like you petition for things. And you list what you're petitioning for, and it's called change.org. They do them all the time. You should check it out. It's quite interesting. It's just an idea, you know, to put the platform out there on the platform and see what kind of recognition you can get. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah, I got you. Well, you know, that's something that maybe you could try that. You know, at least you're doing something, you know, and you never know until you try. And, you know, when we would take this effort around to different reservations, and we even talked to tribal chairman, and we just like have a little meeting, you know, wherever we went, an open meeting, and we was on Kili Radio a lot, defending this. They wanted to hear what we had to say about independence for the Lakota. And so we would go on Keeley Radio often and, express our viewpoint. And out of all of this going around and information on the radio, and even there was some articles in the Rapid City Journal and Indian Country Today, nobody ever opposed it in the communities. The only one that ever opposed it was Tim Gallego, the big publisher guy, you know.
Yeah.
He's the only one. And, so we just discounted him. But other than that, you know, nobody ever opposed it. And so if nobody is opposing anything that you're doing, then they must be for it. So, you know, it's a situation like, people hear about, independence effort going on. And they got, their job to do. They got to survive. They got to, do all this. Yeah, it sounds interesting and everything, and it's a good thing. But, it's a hard road to climb. Got to come up against the United Nations. This and that, the international, world court. But, the fact is that international law supports independence for Lakota. Yeah. I got all the background on that international law, and whatever you can think of to do, that may be your calling. If you don't try, you'll never know.
Well, maybe you could write that up, and could you send it to me in an email? Some of that documentation, so I could have some of that documentation to reference off of and put it onto that platform.
Didn't I send that to you, Brian, on the email, in your email?
You're listening to your radio.
You might have. I'll have to look. I'll let you know if you didn't.
Yeah, let me know if I did. If I didn't, then I can send it to you.
Yeah, this is Barney again, in the woods. Maybe all the Lakota people have to be involved. Maybe they should. Long ago, they used to send out runners. I don't know the culture that good. I've lived out here a long time. I try to catch up on things. Maybe we send out runners to everybody and have some kind of a meeting, some kind of a big meeting of all the people. Because things are getting drastic now. A lot of people feel it. They'll probably be receptive to something like didn't they have Sundance long ago, and everybody from all the bands, they attended? Maybe we could get a hold of certain people on certain bands, certain reservations, and meet somewhere, start hashing these things out. And then maybe a proclamation can come out of that. We got a lot of smart people, intelligent people, among our people.
Yeah, it's all good. Recently on, we declared independence on July 14th, 1991. And we recently had a commemoration. The first one, actually, the first annual commemoration. Snoop was the one that was the speaker there, and he, made a proclamation that July 14th would be the Independence Day for Lakota, and. So that's kind of already underway there, that little part of it. And then, going around to reservations, with runners and stuff like that, that's a good idea too. I'm not there right now. Mm-hmm.
Through the petition?
I'm not there
the
right
man
now.
Was talking about? Yeah. If some, all these things can develop. We'll
yeah.
Keep our minds on
anyway, Barney, he said, and Brian, he said, kind of run things by if you have an idea. Run it by Shanupa. He's there in South Dakota right now in Pine Ridge, and so he's the head of the whole thing. Shanupa's the man. You gotta talk with him about something. If you can get something going with him.
Yeah, I know him through Bryce, so.
Yeah.
So I could do it through them, so. Suggest, because I got a lot of ideas, too. Like the man said, you take from here and take from there. Over here, and you try to put it together. I think one of our chiefs said that you get the good out of everything and you try to make it right for the children. But I'm new at all this the movements back there. But my thing is the paperwork, where they got us through the birth certificates and Social Security cards and all those things.
Yeah.
How they captured them.
You'll have to get with Chinupa on your ideas. I'm not there right now. I'm 82. I'm way away from there, and I may not ever make it back there, Barney. So,
yeah.
I'm just kind of an advocate right now, and a supporter and instigator, or whatever. Get with Trump, man. He's the man. He's the head of everything here, and go for it.
Yeah. There's got to be movement. There's got to be movement. I wish I was in this long ago when I was younger. I had more strength. But everything is, I guess, is the way it's supposed to be. But I'm talking now. 10 years ago or 20 years ago, I'd never talk like this.
Are you talking good now?
So I just got to, I know something's coming, something's dark. And I hear people talking. They're talking their own religions, their own, the Bible, the Lakota prophecies and the Hopi prophecies and things like that. And I try to put them all together, and I see where they're coming from. And there is a darkness coming. I feel that we got to get ready for this. It's like there's no time, you know, but I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to move back there now, Sand River. I got me a little trailer, and I got me a little piece of land there in Dupree. As I got back there, and I was putting up my trailer and stuff, there was a meeting. They told me to go to this meeting, District 1 meeting. They're going to give the elders houses and stuff. I said, all right, that sounds good. So I went and I did the due process of paperwork. And they told me a couple months back, they said, yeah, you're going to get a house. They approved it, you know. And then now, I guess I got to go through the political gauntlet. They say there's some people complaining that they want this money distributed to all the people, and not just the few that are selected to get houses. They're arguing back there. So I got to go to the tribal council on December 5th. They want us there to talk, I guess. But I've been wanting to move back for a long time. You
know. Uh-huh.
It's not good out here. It's all right, you know, if you got the mind, when you're young and you got the corporate mind, you know, you can hang in there out here. But as you get older, you know, that all that stuff leaves you. You start thinking, you know, about your death. You start getting more serious. So I wanted to move back there. I got a lot of grandkids. So they want to go back to. They've been raised out here. You know. They've been raised. But they still have that, you know, Lakota in them. And never leave, like that guy says. It don't leave you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In you. So I want to go back and I want to help out. I don't want to be a problem.
Yeah.
But I know how it is. You got to go through the political gauntlet. But that's okay. That's okay. I figure I signed a paper, you know, and then they signed paper. So I look at it like a signed contract. I look at it like a white man. You know, I don't know what's all this arguing about. You know, we already signed. It's a done deal. It's a contract. But now somebody has to have their due process violated. Either me or those people that are complaining. Somebody's got to get violated. So I don't like that. Right off the bat, you know, I'm in that. Back in that world.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people, you know, when they were younger, they left the res to get away from that. And they just got, over the years, they just got stuck out here. They just like get stuck. You know. You go back, and then you want to get out of there after a couple of weeks.
Yep. Yeah.
It's always been like that for me.
Yeah. Well, you can't let, you know, something like that stop you. You know, one time I didn't have any place to live. I had a family, too. I had three children. And I just made my own teepee and put it up. I didn't ask no permission or from anybody. I went up to in the Black Hills, got my teepee wherever I could get them, whatever I wanted to. Brought them back, set my teepee up, and that was it. I didn't ask nobody, you know. And then another time, I didn't have any housing either. You know, I was like homeless. And I had this vision one night. woke up out of a dead sleep. A bright light was shining in my eyes. I woke up out of a dead sleep, and it was kind of rainy out. And I had a little shelter that I was sleeping in, and I had a little fire beside me that I used to cook with before I went to sleep. And then when I woke up out of the sleep, this little campfire that I had there, I put it out when I went to sleep, but somehow it smoldered and started into life. A little flame flickered there. And I was facing away from that, and I was totally covered up when this light came into my eyes. Woke me up, and somehow that little fire had something to do with it. And when I woke up, I had this vision of a big kind of a dome. Inside of this dome was a teepee. And I looked at that. It showed me this whole thing. It showed me inside of it and outside of it and everything. And then it went away, and I went back to sleep. And the next morning I woke up, and it had rained during the night, and everything was wet everywhere except where I was sleeping, because I had a shelter there. I made my little fire, and I made some coffee, and I cooked up what I had to eat for breakfast. And this was in an apple orchard up there in Washington. And I'm sitting there, and I rolled up a cigarette. I smoking that. And these two white guys come walking up, dragging their sleeping bags and everything. They came over, and they said, "Oh, man," he said, "you're all dry." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, we got soaked over there. We got rained out. Everything is all wet." And I said to them, I said, "Oh, man, you guys need a place to shelter." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I know how to make a shelter." I said, "It can even have a fire in it." They said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Yeah. I didn't even know I could. I just seen it in that vision that night." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, we can make one." I said, "There's some poles right over there." I showed him. I said, "Go get me 8 of those poles right there." And then I showed him the other ones, the thin willows. I said, "Get me a couple of armsful of those willows right there." And I was thinking, yeah, we could. This is right when a farmer drove up with that tractor, and he was pulling a whole bunch of black plastic and some twine. And he said, "I thought maybe you guys could use this." I said, "Yeah, we can use that." And I said, "Well, and there we go." I said, "That's the skin right there." And so they went and got all, they were right over and got all these poles, all of them. And I said, "Okay, well, here's a spot over here by the creek." I said, "We can put them up right here." I showed them how to put them up. So we built this little dome. It was like a big sweat lodge, almost frame. Put that plastic over there, and we built a cone in the middle of it like a teepee. And I said, "All we need now is just a little bit of something to put around this this cone here to funnel the smoke out." And I said, I had about 64 cents. I said, "I got 64 cents here." I said, "If we got a few more cents," I said, "I can go in and I can get some tin foil and we can use that." So I went and got tin foil. Walked into this little town, got some tin foil, and came back. We put that all around this cone and inside this dome. And we was all set. Got our firewood, put our firewood inside there, stacked up a little pile of it. And everybody crawled inside there, and it was rainy season, so it was raining. Everybody crawled inside. It was all dry and warm. And we stayed in that thing for, a good month, that whole time there. So, you don't need a wood structured house or brick house or whatever. You can make it on your own. I think we might. Yeah, we got Chinupa back on here, though. Let's get Chinupa back in here. Chinupa. Okay, I got you back in.
Yeah, I'm back on, man. I missed, you know, parts of what the understanding was. I don't know what took place. But anyway, you know where I left off at, Mitakepe? Let's just say, Lakota Wichoye Onkitropi Munkte. Naham. Lechalake se ota daku iwag lakoki hena niepi. Doske le wosuta wunzi walakam istukhala tokata kya daku oyashkan te kihe. Hena echa wolakota owatonsha hena nukte mitakipi. Hechano ki takomni taku kash iotkana iankte, nakakpi iankte. Lila ota wichokan kile yushnampi. Naha iglunipi. Chatake toni tukte hiab nahmu. Oispa vokichi. Nakhsatu kile. Oyok paze ash. Le wazi o apcha hetches e. Oyate tokse gwahoma kyabche echawai. Naha oyate taku hena chimpi winuktala no akhanza hena ei watchu ogle na taku kash lena topi hencha koskawa akile hena hamie ata cho unakshapi lila osni aket hanka na kitana waki hispa ash he ake pushenk de naha okhatinse awan kho mitake pe Eon chatako e prekile chokata ke oyate ki wasloye ki lena chimpi. Taku won yuhe aikha ki ki hena inshan sloyab chimpi. Lila ota glunipi. Mila haska tka oa ke ogna. Metake epi hena toha oluspa hanta. Mela haska tcha owa pchikili la otechike, shicha. Chahohe nazula nitcha ki le owa pchikima eagna ke hanta, washichyo echanta ha. Hechano ki washichyo, tak shicha echumpin, tak shicha hena wastela kao ki hena iagle yankte. Doni oyate nitcha pi hakikta nazi okiste. Ewa naglunikte. Eon cha toha, o kansola le timon hiu naha, daku iwong lakao kile. Wosu taugna, hechus et chokata kia mie ewa toha. Wakhanja le chala ke se hena hikte naha, wakanki lena naha si onkius papi, hena echa le hankikta nazike, hena wichoku. Wa ea makhlete. O kola kiche ki le oapke ki he chante tinza o kola kiche. Hena shunka aki chita he chape. Wicha ki je le aishe pe ki hena yanke. Lila ota hechens iyukcham. O kipshne. Iyukcham na ha toshke ableza akti ki he o kipshne. O tachi iwaglaka. Mila haska, kawichok ogna. Hena wa stesne mitaki pe ash. Inila unkumpi na taku lina wola hokata he. Wakanki lina chimpi na hawa kanja lina chiktik ala tagna yuhaki. Hena echa okola kiche ki le wamana unkichim na ha. Hena wichunkumpi. Lila ota he yushnampi. Ashta komani, nilakhota. Tiki he. Hechus ewalaka bhanta. Nilakho tapi. Chaho he tchokel wa. Hechana se ki ta komani wakhat khanka. Ki chi he tu na uchi makha ki lina. Biha ka vana uchi. Tena echa ehani onko ki akabu uchecha bha. So wana uchachi au na uchashi ogna le. Wichok ogna le unki uspa pi he. Hena unki epi mitaki epi. Tak shite lena lila ota gluni pi. As ini has mi leches eftala. Taku lena unpasi saupte ki le. ena echa ochichi apina etaha wablezi kile iachi oyaki. Kiksu ya po chanupo akankile he toke oyate ki wichak uba heo. Wean kile lila owangcho kya hechus iwoglaka. As tatranka he e tatranka lena inchat ah owangcho pi. Lila ota hena uchokan ki Krishna. Hoa ken ha. Oha e. Koskawa ke.
You must hit a dead spot again. Chinupa dropped off again. We'll just have to wait for him to come back online. I think he's driving right now. Well, anyway, so hey, Brian, hey Barney, I was telling you about that dome.
Well, that was a
really a rough one, rough makeshift dome there. But later on, I built a big one out of canvas. I got some canvas and I sewed it all together with a heavy-duty sewing machine, and I put some windows in it and. It was like a 20-footer diameter, and I had a little instead of a smoke flap for the teepee part of it on top, I had like a cap that swiveled. It sat on a swivel. I made a swivel, and this cap had kind of wings to it for the protection for the wind. And man, that thing was sensitive. It would just turn just really intricately with the wind. And that dome withstood heavy, heavy wind and heavy, heavy rain. And that was really a good living quarters, you know, not just a shelter, but living. So, you know, things like that's possible. Don't have to live in a wooden house necessarily.
Yeah.
Well, if somebody wants to come on until Chernobyl gets back here, if he gets back in time, go ahead, and then if he's not back, I'll let you know if somebody can sing us out. Bryce, are you still there? Bryce. Okay, well, I think you know, I think we got enough time for a short song. One of you guys want to sing a song to end the show with? Anybody?
I would, but I'm not a singer and I'm not much of a prayer at the same time. So, you know, I'm just trying to figure it out. So I wished I could come in and give, but I guess to everybody out there, you know, all my best wishes and good thoughts, and I have my hopes and my thoughts are with you, and I hope that you think good thoughts and have good thoughts for the future. Like I said, I'm not much of a prayer person, and I'm not a praying type person, so sorry for the stumbling and the mumbling. And I just know that I appreciate every one of you, and I hope that you have a great weekend. Thank you.